We are trying to fix permanently for the Agnes Scott alumni those little details of the past that keep fresh and real our memory of personalities who have made Agnes Scott. Mary Cox and Ella Carey have served faithfully many student generations. They are still on the campus, and neither lacks discernment. Let's see if we can make them give us some reminiscences in their own entirely unrehearsed and perfectly spontaneous ways. Mary Cox, you've known Agnes Scott a long time. When did you come?
I came to Agnes Scott in September of 95. Mrs. Neal of Marietta was a matron. I came down on a Sunday and made a bargain to come to work the following Tuesday. So I've always considered Sunday a lucky day for me.
When you came, who was president?
Dr. Gaines was president. Now, Dr. Gaines was a gentleman who had an all-seeing eye. He saw everything. Nothing missed his glances. And he was a man that couldn't tolerate these in-usher servants, so everybody had to be on the up and go.
And Miss Hopkinsella, what about her?
In 1910, I came to work down at West Lawn, and there was Miss Hopkins, Miss Askew, Miss Thursday Askew, Miss Anna Young, that was all there. And at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, on Wednesday afternoon, I would certainly be on time to button their dresses for dinner. And all the little buttons Miss Hopkins would have on her, and she had the most beautiful little dress most I've ever beheld. And after that, I went to Main Building for 1 year. And Miss Hopkins would say to me, Ella, says the girls are in town, and the cars is late and they're off for time. Says, will you go down and see that they come in? And I would go down and bring up that crowd of girls. And when I'd get through with that, then time I'd get back to the Main Building. Ella, will you go down? There's some more girls to come in yet. Miss Hopkins was the most lovable person I've ever had any dealings with in my life.
Well, why did you stay so long at Agnes Scott?
Well, every year when time school would close, Miss Hopkins would say, Ella, goodbye. Says, I'm looking for you back in September. And ever since then, I've been coming back to Agnes Scott.
Well, Mary, you tell us about the sociables. You know, that was before Ella ever came to Agnes Scott.
Well, the sociables generally happened on a Friday night. So I'd commence to press about 11 o'clock on Friday and continue until time for the young ladies to get ready to come down to meet their admirers. The girls always appeared so beautifully, they looked more like brides than they did students. Some of them had admirers and some of them didn't. Some of the gentlemen were seen to be very shy. They'd stand off and watch them, and the girls the same way.
Well, Ella, what about the old girls when they come back? Do they know you?
Yes, and the old girls know me, and I know them. If I don't know their names, I can generally tell them where they lived. And they say, well, that's just as good, Ella. You know where we lived when we was here.
Well, it has been nice talking over old times and thinking about the alumni who will soon be playing these records. We think and talk about you often, don't we?
We do.
Well, we hope you'll soon be coming back to us. Until then, goodbye.
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 Agnes Scott alumni and friends. Emory University and Agnes Scott College celebrated the coming of 1942 with the completion of one of the most remarkable financial campaigns which has ever been held in the South. These two institutions have been cooperating for a number of years with other Georgia schools in a movement which is known as the University Center. Since the cooperative undertaking began with Agnes Scott and Emory, and because they had worked out plans for mutual assistance, the General Education Board of New York in January 1939 offered to contribute $2.5 million if Emory and Agnes Scott would raise together $5 million additional. The campaign was by no means easy, but in spite of all difficulties, friends were loyal and interested. In the Atlanta drive alone, there were enlisted 1,300 men and women on various teams. how much money do you think was really secured? When the final count was made on December 31st, the result showed a total subscription of $10,027,000. In addition to the $2.5 million pledged by the General Education Board, six other foundations contributed $2,890,000. The sum of $4,637,000 was subscribed by more than 7,000 individuals, whose gifts ranged from 10 cents to $1 million. While large sums were designated for hospital and medical services which could not be counted in the original proposal, yet the subscriptions which should properly be counted against the offer of the board amounted to $5,693,000, of which approximately two-thirds has already been collected in cash. How is the $10 million to be divided? Since Emory University has a responsibility for the entire graduate school, as well as for professional schools, by far the larger part of the campaign funds will go to that institution. The Agnes Scott part will amount to somewhat more than $1.5 million, of which one-third will be for endowment, and the remainder may be used for additional buildings. The effort with Emory was the first in which Agnes Scott has ever participated jointly with another institution, but it has a long record of individual campaigns. It has special reason for gratitude to the General Education Board of New York for assistance in its work, since this is the seventh time that the board has made conditional offers to Agnes Scott from 1909 to 1939. Do you recall just what our present campaign involved? In it, the board offered to Agnes Scott $500,000 on the assumption that it would raise at least $1 million of the Cooperative University Center requirement. This the college has been able to do. Each time in its long experience, Agnes Scott was able to get fully subscribed the requisite amount and also able to collect in full all that was subscribed within the time limit set by the board. This record of continuous support by loyal friends accounts in large measure for the interest which the board has shown. This interest and confidence in its work were further indicated recently when Mr. John D. Rockefeller, Jr. retired from the board on account of his self-imposed age limit. President J.R. McCain of Agnes Scott was asked to serve his unexpired term. While the college as a whole has reached its total objective, may I remind you that the alumni have not yet completed what you set out to accomplish. You have subscriptions of about $92,000 of the full $100,000 which was scheduled as your part of the Hopkins Hall Memorial. It is not too late to complete this undertaking. The alumni campaign has until June 1st of this year for new pledges or for increased amounts. As chairman of the Board of Trustees, I certainly thank you for what you have done and am grateful for your perseverance in the good work. What a thrill complete success would give us.